got 8 hours and 46 minutes of record time, so let's get to it.
Let's do it.
Lindy already done posted our cover art, you son of a bitch.
Should I delete Facebook?
No.
I just, I'll fucking log out, dude.
Nah.
Nah, you know what? No, I fucked us.
We'll take another picture. It's not like Polaroid no more. You know what I mean? When it was like,
how does John Witherspoon still get that? You know, because he does his Polaroids after the show.
In a way, I think
20 a piece.
Yeah, well, if you think about it, for him being as old as he is, not that he's like ancient, but he's old, and
it's still new technology.
It's still new technology. Hell, he's still talking about the moon landing. Can you believe it?
He still believes the moon landing.
Having a Polaroid with John Witherspoon kind of is like retro as fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It would be like, it'd be one thing if he's like, I've got this digital media thing. You know, come up and we'll print you out a picture. That'd be almost worth less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the fact that you can't even find a Polaroid camera anymore, unless except for those little mini ones.
The flashes, though.
Hell, the Polaroids probably cost $1 a piece at least.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, Steve-O's got the way he takes. He'll take pictures with everybody, but
he holds the camera.
His people take the picture, puts it onto his website, and then you rip it off of his website.
Interesting.
And fucking, you know, that just generates traffic to his website like a motherfucker. It's a good way. And he doesn't have to have the whole fucking, oh, I'm sorry, it's a video, I gotta fucking know, you know, the whole awkwardness with the pictures and all that.
It speeds the process up tremendously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. I hadn't thought about that extra dimension of sending him to the website to download it.
Yeah.
That's interesting. You know, I'm just getting to the point where I feel like I've found a way to get people, not even get people, but I say from stage, like before I start my merch pitch, that the easiest way, the cheapest way that you could support me is just take a picture with me after the show and post it on social media. Tag me in it.
Tag me in it? Yeah.
Even if you don't tag me in it, you know, just taking a picture after the show, that's the easiest way to support me.
Absolutely.
The cheapest. And I like doing it. So I think that's one of the things. I think it gets awkward because there's people that are like, he doesn't want to see us. He doesn't want to talk to you. That's how I would be leaving a show or whatever. But the reality is I'm still at a point in my career where I enjoy that part of it. There may come a day where I don't.
It's a nice touch. Makes you feel wanted.
It's one of those things where it's like no matter how good it goes on stage, when you see these people, it's almost like, man, I had sex with this beautiful girl. You know, the lights were off the whole time. It's almost like once the lights come back on, if they still like you, that's a good thing.
It's a weird one. Like, you know, we've all had this set where you crush it and you think, like, I just killed that. Nobody will come up. And the same with merch. You crush it, sell 2 shirts, but then you have a set where you think you bomb. And fucking sell 8 shirts and fucking 35 pictures.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
It is strange. You never can really tell. Well, the audience is a collective, and it's one of those situations. I saw this study one time where they were like, they sat like 30 people in a room, and they're like, okay, here's a green piece of paper. What color do you think it is? And the first guy would be like, green. The second person would be like, green. The third person would be like, green. The fourth one would be like, okay, so we can all agree this is green. Everyone would be like, yeah. And then, but one of the guys in the first 5 people is a plant, right?
Right.
And so they worked on where to plant this person. So they hand out a blue piece of paper. And they're like, okay, what color is this? And the guy's like, red. And the next person's like, blue. And the next person's like, red. And the next person's like, red? Red? So we can all agree this is red. And people are like, yeah. And it was one of those things where it's like people were more concerned with being perceived as out of the consensus,
right,
than to say what they really thought was true.
Right.
So they played with having how many different people would be in that first 5 to convince the whole room. But it was really one of those things, like once the first 3 people went along with it, the rest of the group was like, they didn't, as strangers, didn't want to be perceived as being different,
right,
or having a different interpretation of what the truth might be. So the audience, I think, suffers from that same sort of paradigm when, if it starts off weird or the first comic isn't getting a lot of laughs, the audience starts to feel like, well, maybe we're not supposed to be laughing that much. You know what I mean? It's almost like you have to crack them at that point. It takes a cracking of that shell to get them to be like, oh, no, we can laugh more than this. This is how funny this is supposed to be.
Right.
But when I was at Hilarities a couple weeks ago, the MC just didn't get, he just wasn't strong. He even said, I haven't done this in a while, so I'm not expecting a lot or whatever. But I was like, man,
fun.
Yeah, I should have just been like, look, why don't you let me go do my 5 minutes right up front? I'll do all the MC stuff and you just be, come up after me and do 10 minutes as the first comic. You right. know what I mean?
And then you outro it and then have them outro it.
Yeah. And if I had known, but you never know how strong somebody is when they say that, I don't know how well this is going to go or whatever. But it did not go well. In fact, he got his biggest laugh squeezing, telling a long joke after the feature act, right before Tom.
I don't care for the squeezing, dude.
I don't either. And I feel like it's one of those things that I didn't say anything at the last club I was at because the MC squeezed every show. And I don't know if that's something that the club likes or that the club is okay with.
And sometimes I think that it's, you know, younger MCs or whatever think that that's how it's supposed to be, you know. It's
a way that it can be done, but if you didn't put the show together, like if it's not like called Jay Snyder Presents, where you're the MC and you bring in three top tier comics for the audience to enjoy, and in between you're doing a little bit of riffing
right.
before you bring up the next comic. I could see that, because then it's kind of like, that's more like the Canadian European version of the show, where the MC is like truly
the
a ringmaster.
Yeah,
maybe the one with the most credit.
And that's how it used to be back in the 80s and 90s. You know, that's how.
Well, that's how, like, Live at Gotham, Daniel Tosh hosted.
Right.
You know, it's not like because he's a host, it's because it's like having him as a host is going to draw viewers.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's right from the top, and maybe they'll stick around for the rest of them. And, but, I mean, here, the bottom line was, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do it till somebody told me I wasn't supposed to do it. This guy was actually getting good laughs in between, so it didn't really bother me, but what ended up being kind of weird about it was he ended up doing more time than me on some nights, because
right.
he's doing 5 minutes in between.
That's way too much in between.
Especially if there's a guest set.
Have some one-liners, you know, have some... I just never do that, dude. I mean, there are certain, you know, Ralph Harris likes the host to do a couple minutes after the feature, and
Jesse May had me do a couple minutes.
It's uncomfortable because
if you haven't prepared for it, it's one of those things. Like if somebody's like, "Hey, we need you to do 25 minutes," and then you get there and they're like, "We need you to only do 15," no problem. But if you get there and they're like expecting to do 15 and then they ask you to do 25, it's like, get out my phone. Even if you just did 30 minutes the night before, it's just that level of expectation. It's what you prepare for.
What you're prepared for. Yeah, absolutely. Dude, you remember when you first start, you think you have 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you burn through your shit, nobody's laughing. You burn through 20 minutes in 7.
You do your clean
but you
under
still
third
have 13 yeah. more minutes to go, and that level of panic that hits you, just...
So what do you do?
Yeah, I feel a little bit of that sometimes when it's not going well, but... you know, it's really up to us as the performer to keep performing. It's not like it's going to go fantastically every time you step on stage. You're not guaranteed anything in this business. And I think to me, I was listening to these guys talk about poker the other day, and I was thinking to myself, like, now that... Actually, they weren't even talking about poker. They were talking about robbing a poker game, and the guy was talking about how much he loved being a thief and how much the juice of robbing somebody, because it can go so many different ways.
Right.
And I was thinking, like, yeah, I think that's kind of what it is for comedy for me, is that it's volatile. You know what I mean? It doesn't always go exactly how you want it, and it's your job to get up there in an organic situation. And, you know, most of the defects have been worked out. You know what I mean? It'd be one thing if the place is like, so we're going to try comedy tonight. You're here for 6 shows, you know, right. and we'll see how it goes. And then you have to teach them how to do the lighting and the seating. No, in a comedy club, that shit's all been worked out.
Right.
Everything's pretty much going in your favor. But it's still not that difficult to fuck it all up. Once you get up on stage, say the wrong thing.
I'm the fucking king of putting my fucking mouth.
Dig a hole, buddy. Dig a hole. See if
you can climb out. When I told that chick at Wiley's, that the black chick, I was like, you know what we do in Oakwood? We shoot people that look like you.
And wow.
I don't even know why I said it, dude. I have no fucking... I don't live in Oakwood.
Right.
I'm not racist. Oh, dude. But what it was, is like... And this is like... within 3 minutes of being on stage. And my first 2.5 minutes, I'm crushing so fucking hard. And I got cocky.
Uh-huh.
Where I was like, oh, I can take him anywhere. Oh, I can take him anywhere. Wrong.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just the look on people's faces when I did that.
Why'd you say that?
Covering their mouth.
That's so funny. Like...
Like shaking their head, covering their mouth, like just the look of fucking shock.
You know
what
would have been funny is if you had said right after that, like after everyone like just sat with the silence for a second, and then been like, and that's how Donald Trump gets elected.
Yeah.
You love him, and then you know, or not get elected or whatever. But man, shit, that's the thing. It's like the fact that they backed off at that point, it actually impresses me,
dude.
But 3 minutes
immediately.
3 minutes isn't long enough to have them.
Yeah.
Basically, you were still in that, like,
I think I like this guy.
I might like this guy. And then, like, nope, I don't like this guy.
Dude, I told Vince about it, and he was like, damn. He goes, how'd you recover from that? I go, recover? No, it's just enduring it after that. Yeah. Still had 25 minutes to go. Oh, God. Damn. And it was like literally days, maybe 48 hours after that whole Stanford rapist from Oakwood. Like
the swimmer guy.
The swimmer, yes. And so, like that. Oh, God. But I've done that. I have.
You said at one time we were in Liberty, you came up on stage. What did you say? Nigra? Yeah.
Nigra.
I didn't know there was going to be so many Nigras here. Something. It's one of those things where I was walking out of the room like at the point, and I was like, look, let's wait and see what happens.
I saw you stop walking out to smoke a cigarette. Now let's just see how this
set this plays out.
Oh, stupid. Dude. And it's not like I planned that shit out. I'm just like,
dude, I want to say that was the night that we drank all that Fireball.
Yeah, that was Chris Kattan.
Yeah, that was the night.
We 15 drank. Shots each.
Yeah, and also the first time, maybe the first time I've ever really truly experienced like having cinnamon in my nasal cavity, like just like burning from having like vomit come out of my nose and mouth like projectile.
Ugh.
It was...
Ugh.
I seriously considered quitting drinking for like a day or two. You know what I mean? Like I can't drink for another day or two after that. And then it started to set in. Like maybe I should consider just drinking less.
Yeah, and but better quality.
Fireball is not anything.
It's not. I'm done with it, dude.
I ever need to put in my body again.
Yeah, I'm done with it.
I'd rather drink Jaeger because it's like there's no cheating Jaeger. It's like your body will reject it eventually.
Ugh. Tastes like fucking NyQuil.
You need some. Hey, buddy, where are you going?
Bubba's.
Look at this, Bubba's. Buddy. We ain't got to keep you walking around.
Oh, motherfucker.
Look at this, Bubba.
You dirty son of a bitch.
You can even just look up for the Yusba. The Usba.
The Usba.
We're sitting here with Jay Snyder. We got story time with Jay Snyder kicking off right here.
Local.
On the 51st episode of Totally Unrelated. And I want to apologize.
Studio.
We're in the studio right now. You can hear the landscapers outside. I don't want to assume that they are Mexican or of the African American.
Mexicans.
Suasions. Suasions. That's how you say it, right?
That's the way I do.
Apologize for not having a cast last week, but it just wasn't in me. And I was out of town. We were both out of town. We were both doing big things. Letting our nuts hang all over this great United States of America.
Swinging that dick.
Just swinging it like a trapeze artist with one arm. It's a lot of leg work. You know what I mean? So, Jay, give us an update on... fuck you been up to, man? You haven't been on a proper cast since the adventure.
The rescue.
Cast. Yeah, the rescue. When we said that.
Did they hit you up on Facebook?
Not about the cast.
They, so we're all friends on Facebook.
Yeah, we're all
that.
Yeah.
They're cool as shit. Always, you know, they've reached out to me a couple times.
They did. I saw a message after the accident when I picked you and Dale up.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I remember.
They're like, you look like us.
Yeah, except there's not fucking 15 cruisers and that whole thing is just
crazy. The fact that there was 15 cruisers and nobody went to jail.
Yeah.
What privilege. What privilege.
Absolutely. It's great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the best part of it is a mixed guy walks over and smooths it out even more for the white people.
I'll take the honkies with me, officer.
They some of the good ones, officer. I'll take these whites with me.
So they reach out. Patrick is the husband's name. He had a birthday party this week, and they invited me.
Oh, nice.
Out to that. But, yeah, they're very supportive. We gained some fans.
You sold a t-shirt.
Sold a shirt.
Enough of the small talk.
Enough small talk. Take a shirt, motherfuckers. But I think they might be going to Brouhaha. Anyway, they're good. But
Brouhaha, which is a year ago today. Actually, it was a year ago last week from my passing out and chipping my tooth out on the cobblestones.
All right.
And I don't think anything's ever been better for my career. My smile is
killing me. Oh, I've got a $1 million smile. It only costs $300,000.
It's 30, but you know, give or take.
You should be able to get a whole new mouth for $30,000.
I don't think it was even close to that. I think between my back and my mouth, I think it was 30.
Your neck, your back, your...
Could have settled out of court for $50.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'll settle for anything.
I'm just glad I wasn't there, like, trying to pick up my teeth. That would have been really sad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I ran my tongue across them, and I was like, okay, never do that again.
Yeah, and just cut your tongue.
Yeah, it's so hard to even think about it, but I was just like, there's no point in trying to find those pieces because they're not going to do anything.
They'll come out in my stool.
Oh, my God, brother. Like, when I say that, like, I used to have an irrational fear of, like, having dental issues like that or, like, having my teeth chipped up like that. And turns out it wasn't that irrational.
It's not the end of the world.
It wasn't the end of the world, but it was also, like, I think I might have just been clairvoyant. Like, hey, there's going to be a point in your time that's so... Because, dude, it wasn't so much the passing out that concerned me. It was literally the losing of the teeth.
Yeah. Fuck the passing out.
Yeah. Yeah,
This
is the moneymaker.
That picture you sent, I don't know if you sent it to me or just posted it on Facebook. Mouth mangled up.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck up.
I sent it to Zach Hale and he posted it. I was like,
real cool, bruh.
Well, I told him he could, but... It was one of those things where it was like, I think it said since he made comedy on it or something like that. But my lips were all swollen and my chin was all swollen. It was really ugly. It was really, really ugly. But now I live with that fear every day of like, sometimes I hit a bottle on my tooth too hard or something like that. I'm like, oh God, no.
I can't do this.
It's only Thursday. I got 5 more shows. But the last few shows, man, I've had a beer, maybe 2 beers tops, and I quit drinking scotch and soda because I found that when I would drink scotch and soda, I could drink a half a bottle of scotch and I wouldn't even feel
a buzz. Is that right?
Yeah. When I drink 2 beers, a beer sometimes gives me a buzz. But for some reason, my body metabolizes scotch like bread. You know what I mean? I think it's just like, I just feel like, oh, this is a good loaf of bread. And then I feel like crap the next day. But when I drink a beer, I just pee a lot and then I go to sleep.
I like to pee.
Which is fascinating. It's a riveting story. I know that the listeners right now are like,
yes.
Talk more about how often you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, I piss usually every day.
I try to get 2 in. I try to, usually outside of my pants, 1 in, 1 out if I can.
Oh, I'll tell you, I like to. All right. We're losing them.
And hard-headed.
And
we're back. I got these new shoes, Jay. I got these new teal with neon yellow running strap shoes. Now, these are $80 Nikes.
Look at them, motherfuckers. Do they come with a free vibrator?
Picked them up at the outlet mall just north here of Columbus.
Is that the new one up there by where me and Dale wrecked up?
Right up by where y'all wrecked up at. And And you know, I got these for less than $40. And I've run 2 5Ks in these so far. I'm going to run another one this weekend. And in Toledo. And this is why I got these. These shoes are going to jump the river that Jay Snyder was unable to clear.
Don't challenge me,
motherfucker.
I'm going
to challenge the challenger in my brand new Nikes like you did.
I didn't make it across either way, did I?
No.
Well, I made it across and then I fell back into it.
If you had like gone the first one and been like, I'm taking the bridge to come back, you would have been 75% better off. Because on the way back, you sunk in with a dry foot.
It was that like black.
And then it just never took off. So it was just like skloosh, skloosh, skloosh.
Yeah.
And
you
so,
got footage of it. Yeah.
There's a video of it. In fact, I'm very proud of the cinematography of this video. But what's missing, the only thing that's missing, is you or Tom being famous.
Yeah.
If you guys had a TV credit or movie credit or just comedy fame,
a real one,
that video will be worth its weight in digital.
It's a pretty good video. Did you edit that?
Yeah, it's 2 minutes or something.
Yeah,
like
that's
that.
Perfect. It's a good edit.
It's like a. I still have all the footage and stuff, so I could do like a longer cut of it. But I was literally like, I made a 10-minute video because it's long. It's like 20 minutes. I made a 10-minute video, then I made a 5-minute video, then I made a 2-minute video. So I just kept working backwards until I got down to what was just really part
just
of the story.
Just the fucking meat and potatoes of it.
Yeah. And it's not, like I said, it's the context is given if everybody knew who you were. If people were like, oh, what were these guys up to before they were famous? See, that's the thing that I think most people miss about like doing a podcast or anything like that is that it's like, it may not be what you want it to be today, but you're putting something on the digital archive, and one day your job is to live into it, you know. Yeah. Like have it be worth something one day.
Yeah. So that day was,
we were coming back from, man, that was like one of my first gigs
Illinois.
Ever. Yeah. And we stopped off in Toledo to hang out with Tom who was opening for Ari Spears,
right?
And we went and played
White Trash Keno
at that golf bar,
drinking heavy all day,
just beer. But we started at like 3 and came back to the show at about 6.
I remember seeing Nadia and I was like, let's get the fuck out of here. I don't want to have to talk to Nadia right now.
I remember that. And I also remember laughing really hard at Ari Spears and him looking at me during the show with this look like, I'm glad you're enjoying this, you know, like glad you think this is funny. And then after the show, being the coldest, most standoffish, came outside where we were all hanging out and sat down, but didn't want anyone to talk to him.
Yeah. He's a fucking cocksucker.
Just strange. Just strange. I didn't get that. But, funny. Nobody ever said he wasn't funny.
Sells out, dude. He sells out, man. How he still sells out. You know, he's one of the longest running members, cast members of Mad TV. Him and the that white guy that was on that fucking real tall blondish hair.
No, I don't know who you're talking about.
Those two are the longest. I think they're tied. They were.
What do you mean longest running? As far as like being on Mad TV?
On TV the long, yeah. So they're, I think they were 9 years or so. You know, almost the whole duration of.
That's a long time to be on TV.
Yeah, and he's still reaping the rewards of it.
Well, you know, I as he should.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people get mad that or say whatever they want to say about Rob Schneider, but, you know, he started in stand-up and he's finishing in stand-up. You know, so if people want to come see him, that's the thing. That's the other thing. It's like, nah, I don't want to talk about that. I don't talk about that. Talk about too much comedy. Let's talk about your bus trip, man.
The bus trip from Dayton, Ohio to Syracuse, New York. 16 hours each way. The most humbling and humiliating experience of my life. I would not recommend it to anybody. I got on the bus on my birthday, and fucking 16 hours later, I'm fucking going into Syracuse, and it was horrible, dude. I had to ride it. They oversold the bus, so I had to ride.
First of all, they should only be able to undersell a bus. They should never be able to oversell a bus.
Dude, I'm telling you. But what happened is somebody had a wheelchair, so they have to slide a couple seats up just to store the wheelchair or whatever. It was
ADA be fucking you in the ass every time.
It was, so from Columbus to Cleveland, which is, what, 2 hours?
Yeah.
I had to sit in the aisle, on my ass, sitting on my ass in the aisle to Cleveland, and it was the only option I had, that or...
Wait, so when you say sitting on your ass, like you couldn't have sat on your head, or
well,
somebody's lap?
Not in front of... Like company.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I thought you might be into some Mork and Mindy type shit, you know, like Niner Niner and then like lop it up. So that was the only part of the part where you had to sit on the, in the aisle was from Columbus to Cleve?
True, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you got yourself your own seat.
And then I got a seat, and that's when I texted you that I was sitting behind this Amish guy, and just the way that he was looking at the young black girls across the aisle from him was just.
It bewilderment.
Yeah, I kept.
Or like he wanted to have a Captain Kirk moment.
He wanted to dip his
rod in the fondue.
I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell if he was just intrigued by them. That's kind of how I took it. But then there was other times.
Were they being loud or?
Not at all. Not even talking. Like literally, it's just the fact that there was black people. Yeah, and I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm trying to like take a picture of him and shit, but I mean, and he was a nice guy because I was sitting in the aisle beside him and I had taken some edibles before I knew that I was going to be doing that, and they hit me pretty fucking good before I realized that that's what I was doing. And
did you talk to him?
I just leaned over and I was sitting beside him and I go, man, this is fucking ridiculous, man. This is fucking bullshit. And
you said that to the Amish guy.
To the Amish guy. There's an Amish guy and a black guy sitting there. And the Amish guy goes, well, I guess I could switch you if you like. Sweetheart of a guy, right?
Wow!
And I go, no, man, don't worry about it. Because I'm just like, you know what? This is a fucking Greyhound bus ride that I deserve. And at that time when I called you, I was like,
I deserve. Like, this is all I deserve.
I was punishing myself.
Like taking a cold shower, even though the hot water works.
Yeah.
Except this case, the hot water didn't work. But that's an amazing gesture for an Amish guy that you don't even know. Like, and you're swearing up a storm in front of his face. Pretty sure Amish don't swear, but... So his first response would be like, well, I guess I could switch you. Wow, dude, that's humbling.
I fucking love the guy for it. But then when I did get a seat, I was behind him and I'm sitting there watching him.
Stared
on these black people. And he's just, it was like.
How old was he?
I would say our age.
Okay. So 22.
Yeah, 22. Yeah, fucking redheaded Amish guy.
I like you more than a redheaded Amish girl.
I get to like these Greyhound bus stations are not nice. So
I've read a million little pieces. I know.
I had a 4-hour layover in Columbus that I didn't know about. All right, so when I go to book the bus trip, there's a 12-hour trip, same exact trip but 12 hours, so there's no layover in Columbus, and so I'm putting my information in there and I literally watch the price jump up like $40 before my fucking eyes as I'm putting my information in there to buy the ticket. So I literally watch it jump, and so I start panicking and just trying to hurry up and get it before it goes up again or whatever, and I fucking hastily booked the 16-hour trip. So I fucked myself out of 4 hours immediately. Just trying to hurry and
so it was a 12-hour and you're like, nah, I'm going to take the 16.
I was just trying to hurry up. Like that $40 jump made me...
That was life-changing.
I was panicking.
That changes my tomorrow.
And so...
I know that feeling.
So these bus stations are like... I mean, we stop in Buffalo, and it's like you would imagine a bus station in Buffalo would
paint
be.
Paint me a picture.
Let's do this. Cleveland and Columbus were the worst of all. So I go into this bus station, and it literally, they run it like an airport. It's, uh-huh. You know, it's just like an airport. You have layovers. No, there's no metal detector. No, they don't give a fuck. they don't give a fuck.
Blood this motherfucker.
So then I walk into this Columbus bus station, and I see a sign, and I should have took a picture. I see a sign that says, restaurant and gift shop. And I'm like, is there really that big of a market for...
I survived the Columbus
So you have, there's a smoking area. You're outside and there's a smoking area. And this chick comes over and she's got a backpack with a baby in it. And she's got another kid in front of her. And she's just standing
there. I saw that picture.
Yeah, so she's standing there smoking a cigarette, blowing the smoke in both of these kids' faces or whatever. And I'm just like, and this is, dude, it was, let me tell you, so, oh, by the way, the Toledo bus station, top notch, unbelievably good, because it's like an Amtrak.
Okay, so like, equate to me, like, if...
The Gaza Strip, dude.
Like, if Columbus bus station was a fast food restaurant.
Oh, we're talking a Waffle House at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday night.
Okay, and so then the Toledo bus station would be
Waffle House at
2 p.m.
At 2 p.m. Yeah,
on Tuesday.
Actually, no, Bob Evans would be more like it. It was nice. A lot of seeds.
No, but let's be clear though. Is it just like a new Waffle House, or is it really a Bob Evans? Because there is a big
discussion. Compared to. If I would have just went to Toledo first, I would be like, this isn't so bad. But I had went to Buffalo, Cleveland, Columbus, Erie.
And you're getting off the bus every time?
I'm getting off the bus and smoking. Yeah, yeah. And so going to all those shit.
Do they search your bags at all?
No, they don't give a fuck, dude.
You can't take alcohol on the bus.
Well, you're not supposed to.
Do people? Could you see people drinking beer?
I could never see myself doing it again without being fucked up.
Really?
So I, the Sunday, so after the show Sunday, I'm getting on the Greyhound at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I just stay up. Me, the manager, the guy that headlined that night, we go bar hopping, and then we go back to my room, drinking heavy, and then. I'm so fucked up that I think they're not going to let me on the bus. That's how, and you got to be pretty fucked up to not be allowed onto. So I get on there. There's a kid there, and he's going to Wyoming. This would be, I guess, Monday morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, and this kid was on the bus already. So I get on the bus. He's already on there. I don't know where he was coming from. He's going to Wyoming. He's not going to be there until Wednesday night. So he's 3 days on a fucking Greyhound, dude.
Oh my god,
dude! I can't imagine getting off of a Greyhound and like, you would have to be like Tom Hanks on Castaway, completely lost your fucking mind, beard, hair going to shit, like.
Yeah,
dude, it was the absolute.
All thin, but, able to spear fish like a motherfucker.
It was the worst
situation. Yeah, but we're on a bus.
Ah, dude, it was horrible, and but also I knew that it was going to be horrible, so I'm like, you know, so I'm sitting on my ass in the aisle, and I remember tweeting or Facebooking, I'm sitting on my ass in the aisle on a Greyhound. I feel like I'm a fucking lost scene from La Bamba, like fucking. I'm waiting for chickens and shit to come running through, and it was bananas, dude.
Man,
but. I fucking got through it. It wasn't, it wasn't the. I did what I had to do to get to the fucking gig.
Yeah.
You know, and.
Did you have to show ID or anything?
just when you get there, and then they give you a stack of boarding passes, just like an airport. But I mean,
yeah.
So every
you can't have it on your phone.
No. Yeah. So every stop you have to take. You're just like an airplane, and give them the next boarding pass. But I mean,
I can't imagine trying to hold it together for 16 hours.
Dude,
I mean, like, that's why, like, sometimes when I'm in my car, I'll opt for a 16-hour drive instead of flying for 5. If it's like a, you know, to get it there cheap, I'm taking 2 or 3 layovers, because getting in and out of a plane. That stresses me out, man. Being on a plane stresses me out.
Just the airports, being on a plane, and just all the... Yeah.
And when I'm driving, I know I'm not in total control, but at least I'm not sitting next to somebody who's bleeding over into my seat. Yeah. Hey, the last few times I've flown, I used to try to get the bulkhead, but I was like, stop doing that, because every time you do, you're sitting there with the biggest people on the plane. I'll take an aisle or a window seat. No, dude, one time my dad booked me a flight, and he was like, I switched your flight to the bulkhead. I had a window seat. I switched it to the bulkhead so you'd have more legroom. And I was like, I was never complaining about legroom on a plane. I just wanted to be not in the middle. Yeah. So now I'm in the bulkhead, I'm in the middle, and the two guys next to me are like 6'7", 400 pounds. I mean, like, I'm literally, like, sitting like this, like, and they're touching me. You know, they're, like, literally shoulder to shoulder squishing me. And the last time I flew when I had a problem like that, it was a smaller plane. The guy had the window seat. And when I get in, he's got the center divider down. No, up, I mean. You know, like the armrest. He's got it up. So when I get in, I was like, I'm going to put this down.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even have this to ask
my,
you.
This is my, yeah.
Yeah, this is how we're going to...
I'm in the middle. I get the armrest.
This is how I get to tell you that you're in my space.
Yeah. This is how we do it.
And what pisses me off is that when you have the window seat... You can twist, I mean, unless you have some sort of problem or whatever with your body or whatever, you can twist and kind of get yourself away from that other person.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he just sat there like this the whole time, like literally like touching me. So I have to lean into the aisle. So now every time somebody walks into the aisle, I literally have to like bump into him so that they can just get through the aisle. And then he just stands there like this. So then I got to go back over here. So I actually did an Instagram of me like of my face like this, and then I pan over to him, and then I come back and my face is like all scrunched up or whatever. And I think he saw me do it, but just barely. And so then when we landed, we were delayed in the air. Like, we did a couple laps around the airport, and they were like, if somebody's got a connecting flight, and I already knew from talking to him before he had a connecting flight, let them off the plane early. So I was like, I'll let you out before me. And he was like, thanks a lot. And I was like,
fuck you, cocksucker. I hate people. I fucking hate... He was white, wasn't he? I fucking hate white people.
He looked like the guy from Taxmasters.
The dude with the beard?
Yeah. Brent
Terhunes.
Terhunes. Hey, let's take you to the airport, Jay. Let's make this motherfucker morbid. Let's make this morbid. We're going to make this podcast morbid. I'm going to have to unscrew this. It's going to make some weird sounds. We're spinning in a circle. It's a twister. It's a twister. Annie M.
Are we gonna record on the way?
Yeah, man. Why wouldn't we?
Yeah,
we is. Why wouldn't we? This is Adventure Cast story time built into one. So I ran the other day and I had this gum in my pocket, and then I saw the wrapper in the dryer, and I was like, hey, I wonder where that gum is. It's in my pocket. Good, because I wanted some gum too.
Shit.
You was talking up a storm, man. I think what you channeled the bus energy is what you done did. What you done did right there, motherfucker. You done relived that whole experience on the bus again.
You motherfucker.
You motherfucker. Oh, buddy. So you're flying out. Where are we headed to do today?
Orlando's,
Florida.
John.
And then you're going over to the...
Then I'm bussing over to fucking Tampa.
Tampy Tamps.
2 hours.
I love me
about
some Tampa.
$10. I could take the train, I guess. I could take the train. I don't. But they're letting me check into the...
I'm telling you, man. You just do that same gig you did where you get the MC or an open micer.
I mean, that's my goal. I haven't bought the tickets yet, so...
we want to hit a cigarette, or you don't.
I don't.
Do I want to?
Yeah, you probably want to before we head over. I think we still have time. Yeah, as long as we leave here by... I mean, dude, you're going to get there early anyway.
I think my flight's at like 12:20 or something. And then, so I'm doing Orlando. You're doing...
Toledo. With
Doug Morgan.
The bearded one himself.
He's been crushing it lately, dude.
I know he's gonna try to bury me every show. And
I don't think so.
Well, here's the thing about it is
he's gonna try to do his best, but I don't think that
think he would either. But
now, I would try to bury you.
I know. As you should. But as you should. And if the roles were reversed, I'd never say this. This is a there's a difference between trying to bury somebody and trying to do as good as you can do.
Right. Trying to build it up to where it's supposed to be.
It's obvious when you try to bury somebody because you're actually swinging harder than you
and
have
And it's
to.
Not a good look. It's not a good look. I got a 2-hour direct flight, so it's...
That's beautiful. Gravy. That's like makeup for the bus. That's like makeup travel sex.
A $50 flight... on one of these like discount airlines, Frontier, I think, or Allegiant or something like that. $50. So I'm gonna have 2 weeks of travel for around just over $200. Fucking crushing. And it's 1,000 miles away, so it's like
I should give you some of my shirts. I have like a stack of shirts that are totally unrelated to anyone. You could build a joke around it. And sell it. I don't know how. I think I only have one size though, one or two sizes, but it's a common size, like medium and large or something.
Ooh, in Florida, not a big seller.
Yeah, and they're black.
Yeah, they have fucking deep fried butter down there. So it's...
You were talking about having shows where you sell, even though you didn't do that well.
Yeah.
Tampa. My best shows were Thursday and Sunday, and I sold. I don't even know if I've ever sold that much merch.
Who were you with down there?
Adam Ferrara.
That's right. And what, do you like that club?
I love it, man, but it's so... I was so nervous.
Godfrey down there.
You'll be fine. You'll probably have killer shows. You'll probably draw that place full, and it's like one of the biggest clubs. It's old. It's like a historic building.
How many is it? See, 400?
I think 450.
450?
It's huge, dude.
450.
I don't know exactly, though.
Compared to Liberty, is it similar to that? Balconies and...
Balconies, but not similar. I mean, similar, but dissimilar. It's more historic. And it's not like any other funny bone you've ever been in, because it's like they put that...
It's an improv.
Or improv, even. But it's just a historic building, so the layout is more boxy. But it goes up really high. It's got super high ceilings. And the upper tiers seat less people. But it does have like a third tier. And when that thing gets set, it's pretty electric.
Hopefully it's a good week.
They do a teen
Labor
show.
Day, so I'm not really, I don't know, you know, it's going to be Labor Day weekend, so.
Sunday should be good then.
Yeah, that's true.
And I was super nervous before every show. Like knee knocking, pass out, vomit, had to take a dump. Like, before every show, like, I don't know why.
You're describing me to the T right now.
I don't ever feel like that. I haven't felt like that since, like, my first Clash of the Comics. And then maybe again the first time I ever did stand-up.
Right.
But other than that, nerves, I mean a little bit, but not like knees knocking, feeling faint. Every show. Like,
really?
Both shows on Friday. Both shows on Saturday.
Usually by the late show Friday, you got your legs under you. You got the room, kind of filling the room out. Yeah, you've got to figure it out.
I have no idea why. All right, let's head up out of here.
This is how it got done. This is how it got done.
It's Friday night.
It's Thursday afternoon.
barely. It's 12:01, but that technically counts as afternoon.
I was so glad because I would have been I would have been at the airport at 9:30 in the morning, and I was like, and I don't know why I didn't think of it before I texted you yesterday.
Seatbelt.
But I didn't know where. I didn't know when you were leaving, but all that stuff.
Oh, it ain't no thing but a chicken wing.
You know I appreciate it. My best good friend.
My best good friend. I can't have him sitting in no airport. Man, you could have been in the Cincinnati airport. I drove up to Cleveland, picked up Tom, and drove him down to Liberty.
Like a boss? That's kind of... You do that.
That's nice. Let no man...
We went to North Dakota.
For more than 2 hours. Now that
would never happen again.
No. I was going to say, that's more of a sign of, like, me being a stand for, I don't even know what it is that compelled me at that point, other than the fact that I had the time.
And, you were in Chicago at that time.
Yeah,
so.
It was like, I'm already heading that direction a third of the way.
And you literally hit me up. Night before, because I was going to rent a car, go up there. You go, hey, I don't have shit going on. I'll
you buy the gas.
Yeah.
And I'll drive you up and back, and I'll crash with you. Dude, and we had, I mean, like, we had so much fun that entire week that I blacked out most of it, like, mentally. Like, I think I just was like, oh, man.
One show got canceled because the pipes froze. The pipes froze, that's what it was.
That was truly
the pipes froze, and then that was making the septic tank back up or some shit.
Basically the bathrooms were unusable. Which I'm like, how is that a real problem? How is that a problem that you have at a comedy club that's in North Dakota? Like,
Yeah, because it was like 20 below.
Which was pretty common.
Yeah, which is pretty common, but it was colder than hell.
I was standing outside smoking a cigarette back then. And with a guy who was standing out there in a t-shirt.
Like, and you're colder than what he is.
I'm wearing my Columbia jacket. I have a toboggan on, gloves. I'm fucking shivering. And that's when I was just like, why am I out here? I don't even smoke.
Why am I putting myself through this to kill myself?
That's the thing. There's way more efficient ways. I don't need that, slow shit. I got 2 days off of... I'm resting for the next 2 days. Well, actually, I got a workout I'm going to do later this afternoon, but just light. And I'll take the next... Well, today's, what, Thursday, so I'll take Friday off, and then Saturday morning I'm going to run a 5K race in Toledo.
You're a beast, dude.
My goal is to just go ahead and try and sign up for and run a race in all these cities. For no other reason, in that... I was going to run anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I just plan it in, and now I get to pay. Like, you mean I could pay somebody to do this? I've been doing this for free, but I didn't know I could be paying somebody to do this. And also, like, getting some hardware in New York was, I don't want to say incentive, but it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I guess I am a runner.
Yeah.
People were complimenting me on, like, they were like, man, you ran a great race. And I was like, we were all just running. You know what I mean? Yeah, I ran a little faster than a couple people, but it certainly wasn't the fastest. But one of the races I was pretty... I mean, I was second overall.
You know,
brag.
That's what you do.
Not even humbly. That's just what that... But the guy that won the race, like, when I got there, I saw him from across the parking lot, like, staring me down with that look of, like, you're my only competition.
Right.
And I only know that look from, like, soccer, tennis, basketball. You know, just like when you're sizing up another guy that plays your position.
Right.
The way goalies look at goalies.
Yeah.
You know, the way a pitcher looks at a pitcher. And it was accurate. Even though I was, see, because I am not, this was my third race ever that I was running when I saw this guy. And he looks like he does this a couple times a day. He had on the full gear. You know, like, his dick looked like it could have flopped out. You know what I mean? His shorts were so short. But they were light.
And his dick was so nice.
It had a nice shape, man. Good old mushroom top. And but he was much, I mean, maybe 2 minutes faster than me overall. So
So he was gone from the race site before I finished. I never saw him again.
Where, when's the last 5K you ran?
Last weekend.
I mean, but before that?
Before that, it was Thanksgiving of last year. And all of this is just sort of prep for running that same 5K again this year in Chicago, or in Evanston, which is where I lived last year. And it's right by my sister and mom still live there. So if we go there for Thanksgiving this year, assuming I'm not booked.
You'll do the run for your life?
I'll run for my life on Thanksgiving. And my goal for that race, I'm not putting a whole lot of pressure on myself for goals for these races that I do here. It's more of like just getting them done and trying to do the best I can. But my goal for that Thanksgiving race is 20 minutes or better, which is...
Really?
Which is fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, it seems remarkable. Like it is.
It would be remarkable.
I mean, I could take a Greyhound to Syracuse faster than what I could finish a fucking 5K.
It's only 3.1 miles. And so, like, a 5K race, for all intents and purposes...
A 5K is 3.1?
Yeah, it should only take 30 minutes for the average person to do that. 10-minute mile. The average person runs about a 10-minute mile, I think. I'm trying to do it at 6:30 a mile. And today, or the last 2 days, I've been trying to see how fast I can even run a mile. And it appears to me I can run 1 mile in under 6 minutes. But every other mile after that would be over 8 minutes. So my current economy is to be trying to run as close to 7 minutes a mile as I can, which is probably around 7:15, 7:30 on average. And that still puts me around the 22 range. When I ran it in Thanksgiving was the best 5K time I've ever had in my life, just over that distance, which was like 21 and change, 21:04 or something, 21:20. And this last weekend I ran it in 22:44. And then the second one was like 23:40, but it was almost all uphill. And that's why I got second overall, because I actually am stronger than I am in my lung capacity. I don't have the lung capacity currently to run faster than I'm, as fast as I want to. Mostly because I'm not running the distances that I used to run. I used to run 5 miles, and I just won't do that anymore. It's just too far. Fascinating stories about running. I know you're interested. Man, we're almost to the Columbus Airport. I live so close to the Columbus Airport. I can get here so fast. I should just be a Columbus Airport Uber driver. Or say fuck Uber and just be a personal driver. You know, just get like make my own app. Get arrested for Securities and Exchange Commission fraud. Something of that nature.
You know.
Are you scared to fly at all? Do you get nervous?
No, I don't. And even in like turbulence, I mean,
you're like, take me, sweet Lord.
Take me fucking down. Fuck this. At least I'll fucking, yeah. Just no, not at all. And I haven't flown a lot. And I really haven't been in a lot of bad turbulence, but.
It's pronounced turbulence.
Turbulence?
No, turbulence.
Is it really?
No.
Fuck you.
No.
Oh, look, somebody's been reading the Farmer's Almanac, ain't they?
I forgot that sometimes when I correct people, they're like, well, he speaks perfect fucking English. He probably knows.
He might know, yeah.
But I always try to mess up the GJ sound. You know, like, detrated, you know, instead of degraded. That was a terrible example.
You really killed the energy.
I know. I was trying to go for something close to like a spit take.
I want to apologize to the listeners.
Thank you. It's about time somebody does, because we've owed them an apology.
Yeah. I'm glad that I finally got that off my chest. It's something I've been wanting to do.
Good. I'm glad. I should take you to
departures. It's called Sorry Time with Jay Snyder.
You
should take me where?
We're doing deliveries, right?
I would think.
I hate when the signs, like, they're like, well, we'll tell you what it is when you get closer. Valet parking, deliveries, passenger pickup.
Where's the fucking passenger drop off?
Well, even if I take you to the deliveries, you'll still find your way up.
Deliverances.
Check-in. Here we go. Coming over, motherfuckers. Switching five lanes, okay? Jay-Z and this bitch.
Up in this motherfucking piece.
I told us at the last second, check-ins. Not. Crash into the median and then drop your passenger off.
Dude, thanks for everything, buddy.
Of course.
You're too good to me, bro.
Of course I am. You got that sweet, sweet love.
A sweet, sweet, sweet dick. I mean...
All right, I'm going to pull over right here and then maybe rear end this car right here just for shits and gliggles.
Fucking people.
Shits and gliggles. All
right, I'm getting out. Listeners, God bless you.
Yes, have a safe flight. Keep it between the clouds and the ground, buddy.
On the way home, tell the listeners how fucking great I am.
I will.
At life.
Okay.
How I'm crushing life right now.
Gotcha.
See you, buddy. Thanks
a lot. See ya. I should pull off while this bag's still in my trunk. Oh, hold on. I was going to take off with your stuff, but then I thought, nah.
That'd be par for the course. See you, buddy.
See you, bro. Oh, we just dropped off Jay Snyder's. Got you a little bit of story time and adventure cast, and I hope we're all caught up. I don't know what it is about hanging out with Jay that makes me slip into my southern dialect, but I love it, and it's going to be hard to stop, especially hanging out with Doug Morgan, who does the exact same thing later tonight. And we'll probably get another cast in, so we might expect another one this week, maybe, or early on Monday morning. Doug just had a baby, so I know he's going to want to talk about that, because if you know Doug, love to talk about himself. He's just like me. Heading back to the house, I got to get packed up for my trip to Toledo. It's about a 2.5 hour drive, and I got to clean some clothes, iron some clothes. That puts me there at about 5, I'm guessing, and then try to take a power nap for a 7 o'clock show. Yeah, sounds like a good schedule of events. Try to get this thing edited and cooked up and uploaded, hopefully. The sound quality is not needing to be messed with. How are you guys doing? Shout out to all my friends in the UK, who I just made as some new friends this week, and my friends in... Philippines. So, yeah, I don't know how or why, but we're making friends all over this great country. And my friends in Albany and Syracuse, thank you so much for coming out to the shows. I had so much fun. That was New York. I hope to be back. You know, to be a truly successful comedian, you probably have to conquer that state, including the city, not just the suburbs. So I hope I get to get back. I definitely... left my mark. And I don't just mean peed on the buildings, even though I did do that. I don't want people to think I didn't do that. I almost just rear-ended somebody trying to finish up this podcast, so we're going to close it out here and go listen to Irish I Was Laughing Radio. Wendy Ferguson shows up again. I'm going to be listening to that episode on my way to Toledo, and then we'll have something to talk about. Irish, like the ethnicity, I Was Laughing. Radio, Dan Dean, check it out. Saw Dan Dean the other night, one of my favorite people, over at Cat's Lounge with Mike Canistero and Joe Young. And we had a great time, even though it was kind of a light crowd, mostly comics. Thank you guys for sticking around. That was awesome. It's one of those things where I feel like I've kind of taken my hands off of any influence that I had in the Dayton community, which is something some of the Dayton comics, if any of them are listening, like, you never had any influence in the Dayton community. No, I did. I did. And it was just before you started. And so that's the thing comics, I think, fail to realize sometimes, is that people existed before you started. And they were doing the same things that you're doing now. But I'm very proud of these people that weren't in my class, so to speak. But they seem to be a very supportive bunch. Even if what they do is talk shit behind each other's backs, they still support each other in person, which is the most important thing. Staying in the room is priceless. My Fitness Pal people, thank you for all your support and all my 5K runs and my training. I know you have been seeing that and you've been so supportive. I'm losing weight. I'm almost down to... I'm almost down to like the best weight I've ever been at, and it's all from really avoiding sugar and sugary snacks. If you know me, you know I have an addiction to Hostess cherry pies, and those are probably one of the worst things you could ever put into your body. That being said, I have no qualms about putting them directly into my face. But I haven't had one in months, and I don't desire one. And I think from really focusing on not eating sugary snacks, my taste for sugar has really started to diminish. And hopefully that leads to a longer, healthier life and a slightly less love-handled waist, which is what started this whole journey to begin with, to destroy my muffin top. But who doesn't love a muffin top? I mean, that's the best part of the fucking muffin, right? Who are we kidding? We should call it something else. Something less desirable. Love handles even sounds like it's got a reason to be there. What would we call it? A life preserver. I don't know. Even that's got positive connotations. We're not body shaming anyone today. Have a great weekend. If I don't talk to you before Monday, I hope I do. Be on the lookout on social media. There's a good chance you're going to see some live broadcasting either on Snapchat. I'm not really fucking with Periscope right now. Facebook Live might show up on mine or Doug Morgan's feed. Toledo is my oldest, most recurring club that I've ever worked outside of Dayton. And so I have some history there, some friends there, and we always have a good time. So, that being said, you've been warned. I love you. Stay unrelated. Oh,
southern bound wind, she whispers.